that. Well, I want to say how much I appreciate this. There you go. This opportunity to be here. I may lose my voice. I struggled with a cold a few weeks ago and lost my voice preaching this morning. So he may have to turn me up after we get started a little bit. But I too want to say that I appreciate my friendship with Brother Jerry. And it's wonderful to have a partner, have a friend, have a companion in the ministry. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And there's been many occasions that I've looked to Jerry for help in the study of God's holy word and the understanding of his wonderful truths. And Brother Jerry's always there. Now, he may not know the answer, but he will talk me through it anyway. And I appreciate him and his family and his companion. I thank you for this opportunity to have this privilege to speak to this prestigious crowd tonight. Is truly an honor and a wonderful blessing. I don't think it's an accident. I think it's by divine providence that I'm speaking to you tonight. I was called to preach 35 years ago last night in a Stacker Crane in Indianapolis, Indiana. I call it my burning bush experience. I'd heard about people getting called to the ministry, and man, when it happened to me, I knew exactly what it was. There was no doubt in my mind. And I ran for about 6 months before I finally surrendered. I was only 17 years of age, and the Lord has been, I'll start crying and then I won't be able to preach. The Lord has really been good to me. And he is worthy of our praise. I did try to pray and prepare myself for this occasion, get some leadership and direction from the Lord. I have a very, very simple message tonight. I pray that God would give me clarity in delivering it, and I may go through just a few minor technical things just to get our hearts and minds centered on what we need to do. But I want to read some scriptures taken from the 34th Psalm. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth continually. My soul shall boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to the Lord and they were enlightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor boy or poor man in the King James, he sought the Lord and the Lord heard him and saved him and delivered him from all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, all ye his saints. For none shall ever be in want that fears the Lord. I want to notice the third verse of this particular psalm and use it as a thought as we prepare our hearts and minds. It's the third verse that says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I believe this one verse gives us great clarity and great simplicity in explaining the duty of man toward God. We're to magnify and we are to glorify the Lord. We're to magnify him and exalt his name. This particular verse is a verse of invitation. It's inviting others who have gone through the same experience in God giving them their greatest need, the need of salvation. The Lord Jesus is the provider of that need. It is through his redeeming blood on the cross of Calvary that we have life and we have life abundantly. And so he tells us in this psalm what we need to do. We need to magnify the Lord. We need to exalt his name. Now, there's many verses of Scripture that tell us about magnifying the Lord. in the 40th Psalm, verse 16, it says, those who love his salvation, let them say, oh, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Those that have been saved by the grace of God, they are called upon and invited to magnify the Lord together. In unison, if anything should edify us and unite us, it should be magnifying and exalting the name of the Lord. Especially those of us that love his salvation. Those that love his salvation, they say, oh, magnify the Lord. We magnify him because of his greatness, the great work of redemption, because Jesus came and paid the price on Calvary to atone for our sins. We magnify the greatness of his mercy and the greatness of his love, the greatness of his grace. The Lord is good. He is great. The God of Israel is great, and we need to magnify and glorify his holy name. I think we ought to get back to the old ways, the old paths. Be like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe around verse 16, where he says in that verse that whatever, when we eat or we drink or whatsoever we do, do all things to the glory of God. Everything that we do should magnify the Lord because we love and have experienced his salvation. Now that's important. You need to experience his salvation in order to magnify his name. I believe it was the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 who was talking about that extraordinary, amazing hope that he had in Christ Jesus. And he was talking about having great boldness. You might recall in that psalm it talked about those that looked to the Lord, how they were enlightened and their faces were not ashamed. Well, Paul said he was not ashamed. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance he was in, he said, I will not be ashamed, but I'm going to strive with all the energy in me to magnify the Lord in my body, whether I live or I die. Because if I live, I'm Christ. And whether I die, it's gain. Amen? Yes, so in our bodies, because of the great work of redemption and because of salvation, we with our bodies, we with our mouths, with our eyes, with our ears, our whole body, we need to be magnifying the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Now let me pause just for a minute, get a little technical. I understand a little bit about magnification. I know the difference between a microscope and a telescope. A microscope is like, it's used to make something small and insignificant to make it big. We may use a magnifying glass or reading glasses. I guess these are your reading glasses. We make those things that are common or are small appear bigger than what they really are. Now people, if that's the kind of magnification that we're doing, we are deceivers. We're more like telescopes, aren't we? We see the stars and they seem small, but when we use a telescope, they appear as big as they really are. And that's what we do in magnifying the Lord. This world is full of sin, and sin has caused us to be blind. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that are lost and in sin, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. They're blind. They don't see the significance of God. They don't see the significance of his grace. They don't see the importance of his redemption. And so we're called upon, and we ought to do it in unison and in togetherness. We are called upon to lift up. That's what the word exalt means. To lift up. To lift up higher than the things of this world. To lift up higher than the things that people are interested in. We need to exalt the name of the Lord. Make it higher than all the things of this world. And in so doing, they'll see their need of a great God. God is greater than we can ever perceive. Amen? He really is. So our efforts as a people that have experienced the redemption of God, those of us, and that's what this psalm is talking about. We've experienced the deliverance of God through Jesus Christ. And we are to identify that goodness, to clarify the greatness so that others might see it and believe and be saved themselves. That they may be invited to join in the magnification. Now let me clarify. Only those that have really seen and had their eyes open, like Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, where he talked about the eyes of our hearts being open to the glory and goodness and mercy of the great redemption in Christ Jesus. Only when your eyes have been opened can you really know and see and magnify the great God that we serve. And so they have to experience salvation. And let me pause here at this section and just say this. I believe it is the whole duty of Christians. I believe this is the sum of it. That we act and that we feel and that we think in a way that makes God look as great as He really is. Everything that we do should magnify, make God appear to this world as great as He really is. Now I may be getting too loud. I'm getting my voice back, I guess. What did the psalmist say? He said, the humble, those that are lost and in sin, they would hear the glad tidings. The humble would hear us magnifying the Lord that saves, and they would hear and be glad. People, there's no greater glad tidings than the tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed and conveyed through His people when we magnify and glorify His righteous name. So we're notifying, we're conveying, we're clarifying by magnifying and showing forth His wonderful praise. We are not microscopes, we are telescopes. We are making God real to those that are around us. Now, I know you have friends and loved ones that need to see God for who He really is. Sinful way of life. The sinners of this world, the sin in the world has made people insensitive to the greatness and the glory of God. They don't see it. They're not able to comprehend it or know it. And so it is our duty and our responsibility who have experienced the saving grace of God to magnify it, to exalt His name, lift up His name before them. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we lift up Jesus. We lift up the Redeemer. So we're clarifying. We're testifying is a good way to do that. Amen. Testifying, and that's what the psalmist is doing here in the 34th Psalm. He gets real personal about it, doesn't he? And you have to be personal about it. You need to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. The word personal means no third party involved, amen? You need to seek the Lord like this man sought the Lord. I can say that this poor boy called on the Lord and He heard him and He saved him and delivered him from all of his trouble. There's been times in my life I've sensed the presence of holy angels encamped about me. If I needed one like Peter needed one when he was in prison in the 12th chapter of Acts, he would come and he would shake the doors and he would loose the bonds and he would set me free. Praise God, the power of God is with His people. Do you believe God is with His people? Do you really believe that God is our refuge? That He's our strength? He certainly is. The psalmist said, our God, oh, our glorious God, our great God, He loves us, He helps us, He strengthens us, and He is with us. He is with us. Yes, God is with us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea and the waters roar and be shaken therewith. And the mountains seem to just melt before these waters and be destroyed. There is a river, a stream that shall make glad the city of our God. Amen. Yes, there is a city, and we're part of that city, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. God will be with her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathens raged. Kingdoms were moved. The Lord speaks, and the earth melts. The Lord is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold how the great works of the Lord, what desolations he has wrought in the earth. He causes the wars to cease. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear asunder. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's with us. He is with his people. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And church, listen to me. Though you may be small in number, you don't have a big crowd. As long as the Lord is in your midst, that's what's important. Yeah. And I'll say this. You need the Lord not only in your church. You need the Lord in your home. And if you're ever going to get the Lord in your home, you got to get the Lord in your heart. Yes. Yeah, you got to know him for yourself. I'm thankful that I have a God that is a very present help in time of trouble. I have looked to the Lord. All right, let me get back to some technical aspects. Let me mention a psalm. Psalm 69 and verse 30. There in that particular psalm, he says this is the particular way that he expects us to magnify him. You might say, well, preacher, I'm insignificant. I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't know a lot of songs. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. How am I going to magnify the Lord? I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of talents. How am I going to magnify the Lord? In that particular psalm, Psalm 69, he says, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. And I like the next verse. He says, I have no pleasure in your bulls and your goats and your horns and your hoofs. In other words, God is saying he doesn't want your expensive gifts. He wants you to be a receiver and let him be the giver. We're the ones that are beneficiaries of the goodness of God. God don't need us. There's another psalm kind of clarifies all this in the 50th psalm. You might recall where God just makes it real clear. He says, I don't need your old bullock from your house. I don't need your foal from your field. He said, I don't need none of your stuff. I own the cattle on a thousand hill. If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask of you. I don't need your food. I own the whole world and the fullness thereof. And then he says this. You offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's Psalms 50 verses 9 through 14. Listen, God don't need our expensive gifts. This thing is not hard. All he asks us to do is magnify him. How do we do that? With thanksgiving. I tell you, we live in a messed up world. There's another psalm, I think it's in Psalm 35. He talks about magnifying the Lord in that psalm. About magnifying the Lord. And then the next verse he says, people, all they want to do is magnify themselves. God's got a problem with that. He wants us to magnify him. But I don't know if you've noticed or not, people have a hard time being a poor man. If you ever come to the Lord, you'll come poor in spirit. A lot of people, you know, they're filled with too much pride to be a beneficiary, to be a receiver. But I'll tell you something, if you ever get saved, you'll be saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. People don't want to humble themselves and seek the Lord, like the psalmist said in the 34th psalm. They don't want to call on the Lord and ask the Lord. They don't even want to recognize and acknowledge that they need help. Send a friend, you need help. And you will never know anything about thanksgiving and magnifying until you get saved. then you can magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. See, the problem people have is they don't want to acknowledge God as the giver and us as the receiver. They don't like that. They want to do it themselves by some work or some ritual or, you know, some expensive gift. You don't get it that way. You come as a broken and contrite sinner before a holy God. He saveth such of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. Amen. It's on in the song. I didn't get to it. But All right. So the provision. How is my 20 minutes up yet? Folks, it is easy for us that have received the revelation of the goodness and the graciousness of God to magnify Him. I mean, what did the psalmist say? What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I don't know about you, but I love the Lord because He heard my prayer and my supplication. Because He inclined His ear unto me, therefore shall I call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. Sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Folks, gracious is the Lord and righteous is He. Yea, our God is merciful. He preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Return to my rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Folks, we're going to heaven. Man, if you've experienced the love of God, I mean, look at the glorious hope Paul was talking about there in Philippians and in Ephesians, the wonderful hope. You know, Peter, he talked about that hope, that wonderful, glorious hope that we have. And he said, blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us, who has begotten us again into this living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for us where? In heaven. Yeah. And he goes on and says, you know you were redeemed with some kind of corruptible thing, silver and gold. You didn't need silver and gold or any kind of tradition or vain repetition of your fathers. Ah, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. He goes on and he quotes the 34th Psalm in chapter 2 as he was talking about the Word and about being born again by the Word. Folks, you got to be born again of the Spirit of God. In order to be a citizen of heaven, you have to be born again. Born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And then in chapter 2, he says about verse 3, and he talks about the Word and receiving the Word, the milk of the Word, etc. And then he says, if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then drop down. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? To show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why are we saved? Why are we the children of God? Why are we on our way to heaven? Why has He redeemed us? What purpose do we serve? To show forth the praise of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a glorious hope we have. What a glorious hope we have. In Christ Jesus, hope. Hope is a, for a Christian, about done. Hope for a Christian is a reality
Everybody say reality. Just not seen. It's real. Heaven's real.
I mean, we need to magnify the Lord for His love, for His mercy, for His goodness, for His graciousness. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. Us, people like us, that we should be called. Can you imagine? Can you imagine us, the sons and daughters of God? Listen, children, we are the people of the living God. We are His children.
We're in His kingdom. We're citizens of that kingdom. John said in John, 1 John chapter 3, the world doesn't know you, who you really are, because they didn't understand Him.
Folks, I don't know how I'll be, but I know that when He shall appear, I'm going to be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. And He goes on and says, every man that has this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever sins transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. But we know that he has appeared, that He was manifested to take away sin, because there was no sin in Him. And if His seed remaineth in you, you cannot sin, because you're born of God. Wow. I mean, I can't even figure that all out, can you? That's way beyond me. But I'll tell you this much, I'm a blessed man. I'm a very blessed man. I don't think there's any greater blessed man in this room here tonight. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Those of you that know His wonderful love, those of you who have experienced His amazing grace, oh, magnify the Lord with me. If you know that you know that you know you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. The folks out there in the world, when we tell them that we sought the Lord, He heard us and delivered us from our sins. Did He deliver you from sin? Did you receive the imputed righteousness of Christ by faith? Is the love of God in your heart? Have you been justified by faith? Oh, magnify the Lord with me then. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherein we have access unto this grace. You have access to the grace? Wherein we stand. Are you standing right smack dab in the middle of God's grace? Where we stand in God's grace, it's on our lives. It's below us. It's on us. The grace of God is in us. We stand in that grace and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. I tell you what, we'll even glory in tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. Our faces are not ashamed. For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's been given to us. Praise God. Have you had that kind of encounter with the Lord? Where the peace of God came in when you got to the cross, and you found a living Savior, one who's alive and hears you when you pray? Who put something in your heart that's not from this world, but is the agape love of God? Does anybody know anything about that? Then, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Well, one of these days, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Death's going to be swallowed up in victory. And I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the glorified Jerusalem. Spoken up throughout all of Scripture. That heavenly country, that city that's four square, 1,400 miles square. I'm going to that place who has 12 gems, precious, beautiful rainbow of gems as its foundation. Actually, John said that when the angel started measuring it, he said the whole city was made of gold. Do you guys realize if we could accumulate all the gold in the world, we could only get it in one football arena? That whole city's made of gold, 1,400 miles square. I'll tell you what, I look forward to God putting his finger to this old poor boy's eye and wiping away my tear. And I'll tell you what, there'll be no more tear. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering and no more pain, because the former things will have passed away. And I'm going into that glorious city. John said, and I saw the throne of God and a river proceeding from it. And he said the tree of life with on both sides bearing its fruit all 12 months. And he said the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And he said, and there is no more curse there. For God is there, and the Lamb is there, and there's folks there that serve God all the time. And he says, and we shall see his face. I look forward to that day when I see the one that my life is meant to magnify, when I shall see him face to face. You know, Job said, though the skin worms devour this old body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. These eyes, and not another. Amen. We're going to see the Lord. And you know, whether or not he says, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant, will depend upon how well we magnified the Lord in this life. So I invite you to magnify the Lord with me. Churches in Bowling Green, exalt the name of the Lord together. Do it in unison. Do it with thanksgiving. Come as a seeker. Come as a needer. Come as one who's a receiver of the great and glorious things of God. I don't know. Get a song. I'm done. I don't know what you do at this juncture, but I'm done. Let me close. I started with an invitation to all that know the Lord, the free pardon of sin. Those of you that don't know him, the free pardon of sin, come. Come, get saved so you can magnify the Lord with me. I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Walk the streets of pure gold. Are you going to that place? Do you know you're going there? You know what? To die for me is gain, because I'm going to glory. Just simply going to glory. If you hear Tim Benyon's passed away, don't you weep for me. Because when you hear that day, I've finally gone home. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I think all the saints of God need to be more in more unison and magnify his name. Exalt his name. Exalt his name together. May God be glorified in this feeble effort. God bless you.